right, we are back on the Andy Finn Show. And Mike, after that colorful heckler at the Cheney interview this morning, we have a more sedate but as interesting a clip, I think. This is, the next clip is quite long. We're not going to play it all, but we'll fast forward through some of it. But it's a long piece in which Aaron Broussard, who's the president of Jefferson Parish, which is near New Orleans. Of course, as people probably know, they're in, rather than counties down there, they're called parishes. That is a holdover from the, I suppose, from the Catholic background of the French people that settled there. But he basically argued that the bureaucracy is has murdered people in New Orleans. And this isn't in this clip. This was said later, but I love this quote. He says, "Take whatever idiot they have at the top of whatever agency and give me a better idiot." This was, he said this to CBS. "Give me a caring idiot. Give me a sensitive idiot. Just don't give me the same idiot."
Sounds like something Dr. Seuss would write. I like that.
I suppose.
No, but I saw this interview, and I mean, I felt for the guy. I mean, he kind of...
Oh, he broke down. It was unbelievable. I saw him on Chris Matthews this week on Hardball, and Matthews asked him about it, and they played the clip again. And he just said, "Well, look, I make no apologies. We're in desperate shape." I think that's what tells you how severe this is, because people can spin this however they want at the state level, at the national level, but no one can say, "Well, it's not that big a deal," because there were people really distraught over the fact that there were people they were responsible for helping, and they couldn't get aid to them. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't move fast enough, for whatever reasons you want to say. So let's start in, and Mike, I'll have you fast forward through some of it, but this is Aaron Broussard being interviewed by Tim Russert on Meet the Press this last Sunday.
President Broussard, let me start with you. You just heard the Director of Homeland Security's explanation of what has happened this last week. What is your reaction?
Go Cheney yourself.
We have been abandoned by our own country. Hurricane Katrina will go down in history as one of the worst storms ever to hit an American coast. But the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history. I am personally asking our bipartisan congressional delegation here in Louisiana to immediately begin congressional hearings to find out just what happened here, why did it happen, who needs to be fired, and believe me, they need to be fired right away, because we still have weeks to go in this tragedy. We have months to go. We have years to go. And whoever's at the top of this totem pole, that totem pole needs to be chainsawed off, and we've got to start with some new leadership. It's not just Katrina that caused all these deaths in New Orleans here. Bureaucracy has committed murder here in the greater New Orleans area, and bureaucracy has to stand trial before Congress now. It's so obvious. FEMA needs more congressional funding. It needs more presidential support. It needs to be a cabinet-level director.
Stop right there for a moment, Mike. Don't fast forward it. But Hillary Clinton introduced a bill into Congress today to reestablish FEMA as a cabinet-level agency. Now, immediately, she's accused of grandstanding, and I suspect there is a little bit of grandstanding in there. She's trying to get out front. In a year, she can say, I'm not saying this is why she did it, but she can say, "I was the first to propose that FEMA be restored to the level of its importance." And we'll talk about that in a little while, but ultimately what happened was FEMA got subsumed under Department of Homeland Security, and if you're not fighting terrorism, there was no money to do very much. And, of course, terrorism is nowhere near as likely as hurricanes hitting the U.S.
To be an independent agency that will be able to fulfill its mission to work in partnership with state and local governments around America. FEMA needs to be empowered to do the things that was created to do. It needs to come somewhere like New Orleans with all of its force immediately, without red tape, without bureaucracy, act immediately with common sense and leadership, and save lives. Forget about the property. We can rebuild the property. It's got to be able to come in and save lives. We need strong leadership at the top of America right now in order to accomplish this into reconstructing FEMA.
Mr. Broussard, let me ask you, hold on, sir. Shouldn't the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of New Orleans bear some responsibility? Couldn't they have been much more forceful, much more effective, and much more organized in evacuating the area?
Yes.
Sir, they were told, like me, every single day, the cavalry's coming on a federal level. The cavalry's coming. The cavalry's coming. The cavalry's coming. I have just begun to hear the hoofs of the cavalry. The cavalry's still not here yet, but I've begun to hear the hoofs, and we're almost a week out. Let me give you just three quick examples. We had Walmart deliver three trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. FEMA, we had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, come get the fuel right away. When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, don't give you the fuel. Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice. Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in. He reconnects the line. He posts armed guards on our line and says no one's getting near these lines. Sheriff Harry Lee said that if America, American government would have responded like Walmart has responded, we wouldn't be in this crisis. But I want to thank Governor Blanco for all she's done and all the leadership. She sent in the National Guard. I just repaired a breach on my side of the 17th Street Canal that the secretary didn't foresee, a 300-foot breach. I just completed it yesterday with convoys of National Guard and local parish workers and levee board people. It took us 2.5 days working 24-7. I just closed it. Wow. I'm telling you, most importantly, I want to thank my public employees that have worked 24-7, that burn out, the doctors, the nurses. And I want to give you one last story, and I'll shut up and let you tell me whatever you want to tell me. The guy who runs this building I'm in, emergency management, he's responsible for everything. His mother was trapped in St. Bernard Nursing Home, and every day she called him and said, are you coming, son? Is somebody coming? And she said, yeah, Mama, somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday. And she drowned it Friday night. She drowned it Friday night.
Mr. President,
nobody's coming to get it. Nobody's coming to get it. The secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences. For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
Just take a pause, Mr. President. While you gather yourself in your very emotional times, I understand. Let me go to Governor Haley Barr.
Man. Yeah, Tim Russert didn't quite know what to do with that, I don't think. But that is just so powerful.
Testimonial to the frustration by the local government officials down there.
You know, that's not the only example like that, but that's the most dramatic of people feeling desperate. Now, he's supposed to have some power to do some things, and he's basically saying, we need help, and it's not here yet. And so, yes, there's finger-pointing going on, but, you know, these are the people in the trenches who are saying, we've got severe problems, and it's been days, and very little seems to be getting done. So, and just a heartbreaking story, because the woman died, and for days, you know, if you'd known that she was going to be stuck in her house for 4 days and on her roof, and nobody's going to rescue her, and then she'd die, heck, you could borrow a car, drive 300 miles someplace, buy a boat, borrow a boat, steal a boat, come back, put it in the water, and go get her yourself. So it's also a little bit mysterious why more people that own boats 100, 300 miles away didn't say, you know, I'm just going to drive over there in my boat and see what I can do. What are they going to do, turn you away? All you got to do is get to the edge of the water somewhere and put in.
Yeah. But lots of people have, though.
Oh, no. A lot of people did. That's correct.
And you got to remember, too, this is such a vast area we're talking about. A lot of these people haven't just gone to New Orleans. They've gone to other parts that have been affected as well.
Mostly the boats would be needed in New Orleans.
Yeah, no, true.
The flooding was pretty much over the next day every place else. Like Biloxi got hit by 15 to 25-foot wave, a wave of surf that came up over the beach and washed stuff inland hundreds of yards, you know, including huge buildings, floating casinos. But that water was gone in a matter of hours.
Real quick, I just wanted to mention this briefly because this kind of infuriates me. Apparently, the U.S. has rejected an offer by Iran to give us 20 million barrels of oil.
I didn't read about that. You know, China delivered a plane load of help today. I say a plane load. It was a certain amount of, it was clothes, it was gas generators, a few things. But we accepted aid from China.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is a catch here. Iran said it'd give us 20 million barrels of crude oil if we waived trade sanctions. Those crafty bastards.
You're not going to hold us hostage.
But you want to hear something?
20 billion barrels, we go through that in a few hours.
Yeah, me and my Explorer can do that in a year. What are you talking about?
Maybe 20 million gallons.
But a Mexican convoy, a Mexican army convoy of 45 vehicles entered the U.S. today. That's interesting.
And how many illegals were driving those trucks?
Don't start. You sounded like me when you.
You know, since NAFTA, they're allowed to drive their trucks across the border, and they don't have to worry about U.S. inspections.
Yeah.
So they can drive these unsafe vehicles on our roads now.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up real quick.
Yeah, well, Iran had a catch then. Yeah, I'm amazed. I am glad that the Bush administration is accepting aid from all these countries, because you know China's going to make hay out of it and say, we help the Americans.
I think that's why all the countries are helping, to be honest with you.
No, I think most of them genuinely want to help.
No, there's some truth to that, but I
But then the question is, how many will exploit the fact they helped later?
Mm-hmm.
Like the U.S., we don't put a lot of propaganda. You don't find on government websites all the good we're doing around the world highlighted in the way that I suspect China's aid to us, which is relatively small amount of aid considering the size of the country. And it's okay. It's help. But my guess is they're going to tout that and use that for as much propaganda value as it has.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're just so much holier than thou.
But I've also heard reports of help coming from foreign countries being bogged down by red tape. Apparently there's some water purification equipment that arrived from Sweden that hasn't been able to clear, and it's been like 2 or 3 days for whatever reason. And this is vital equipment. We need this water purification equipment.
There are several examples of that. Like this last guy was talking about FEMA turning back water, turning back oil, cutting lines.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
There's a few
that.
Other examples of red tape that was not cut through. I mean, the whole idea of this was that you cut through the red tape. That was the whole idea of Department of Homeland Security, frankly. And so FEMA should be able to be under Department of Homeland Security and not suffer. But in fact, decision-making gets driven upstairs from the head of FEMA to the head of Homeland Security. And so now you got an extra layer of bureaucracy. And that's what we're discovering in all of this. And the dilemma with that, of course, is that FEMA, which used to be a cabinet-level position, is now underneath Homeland Security. And so terrorism is taking a front seat to everything. And so what the reports are is that people wanted to do some training for evacuation and for flooding and for hurricane disaster, that kind of natural disaster stuff, they were turned down because FEMA used to approve all projects. Of course, before September 11th, planning for natural disasters would be the main thing in emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
We were no longer doing duck and cover from the Cold War. But after September 11th, and particularly after the creation of Department of Homeland Security, all that kind of funding decisions were made at the level of the Department of Homeland Security. And if it wasn't terrorism related, you had very little chance of being funded. So you had to couch your project in something that sounded like terrorism prevention or dealing with a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And so we've got all these drills for, you know, an anthrax attack or something. And yet the most likely things to happen are hurricanes and floods and tornadoes in the Midwest and earthquakes in different parts of the country, and we kind of ignored those, which are much more common than terrorist attacks, and we focused almost exclusively on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been talking about this issue for some time, and I've had people disagree with me vehemently, but I argue that we are oversensitive to terrorism now. September 11th was such a big hit that we focused all our attention on that. And actually, if you look at the problems in the U.S. and then the problems in the world, terrorism is actually not the biggest problem. But A, George W. Bush discovered it was good for his presidency. B, he sincerely believes it's the most important thing for him to do, and it's what he was called to do. It gave his presidency purpose. But I just think that he's either too fearful, he and Cheney, or they're exploiting it too much because it allowed him to go into Iraq. It gave him a free hand in a bunch of things. Because that's what war does, is we allow the chief executive to have more power so they can deal quickly with things and cut through red tape. But the idea that we let George W. Bush and his cronies prioritize for us, I mean, that is relatively scary to me because I've never particularly trusted him. I think Bush is callow, and I think Cheney's nuts. So where are you going? Anyway, when we come back, we're going to listen to the mayor of New Orleans tell us, I need troops, man. This is the Lion's Den.